We continue four lines up from the bottom on Samach Hey Omen Aleph. We just brought and offered a brisa to discuss the concept of placing wine on the saddle of a donkey. And we brought it for a different reason, but now the Gemara wants to analyze that brisa itself. So if we go back to the brisa, again, the brisa said if you hire a donkey and you hire the donkey driver with the donkey, that's the case we're talking about. So now the donkey driver has to put provisions on the donkey for himself, and the renter is putting on provisions for himself. So how much is each allowed to place? So the renter is allowed, the Bryce says, the renter is allowed to put provisions and clothing for the whole, for the round trip, whereas the donkey driver is only allowed to put provisions on just for the day. So the Gemara now asks, Hey Chidami, what's the case? Why is this so? And again, we mentioned before that the reason why that each one can put a limit on what they're allowed to bring is so that the donkey doesn't have too heavy of a load and it will move at a brisk pace instead of going really, really slow. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's the case here? Idish chiyach lemizban, if it's common to purchase things on the road, then chamar nami lakev. Then if they're traveling through a highly populated area, then the donkey driver should say, hey, wait a second, you can't put too much of a burden on top of my donkey, even though you're renting it. There's a weight limit, like on the airplanes. Ve'ilo d'shchiach lemizban. Well, then if it's not common to purchase things, then socher nami lalakev. Then the renter cannot say to the donkey driver, you can only take provisions for one day. Well, what do you mean? They're not going to be going through a populated area. He's going to need food for the whole week. So what's the case where we're talking about? Amar of Papa Lotzricha, Deshchiach Lemitrach Ulemizban Me Avna Leavna. Rashi says it's a place where it's common to travel and buy things from day to day. Meaning, in other words, he only needs provisions for the day. And 24 hours later, he'll be able to purchase anew. So what is that? How does that help us? Chamar darchei lemitrach ulemizban. A donkey driver, he's accustomed to troubling himself and going into town for a little bit and purchasing whatever needs, provisions he needs for the road. And that's why he can only take provisions for one day. But socher, but the renter, lav darchei lemitrach ulemizban, he wants to get to his destination. He's not planning to purchase things on the road. And therefore, if he wants, he can take for provisions for the entire trip. Now the Gemara has an unrelated story. Avua de Rav Acha, Bere de Rav Ika. Funny language. The father of Rav Acha, who's the son of Rav Ika. In other words, Rav Ika, because Rav Acha's father was Rav Ika. Rav Acha was the son of Rav Ika. So the story is about the father of Rav Acha, who's the son of Rav Ika. It's about Rav Ika. I'm not sure exactly why they refer to him as such, but what would Rav Ika do? He would pour wine for idolaters, the azil mabra lahu mabra, and then he would ferry the wine across the water, the yahavule gulfi ba'agra, and they, the idolaters, would give Rav Ika the barrels as a reward, as the schar. So what exactly is happening here? Rashi explains that Rav Ika would sell them wine, and he was a middleman. So he would get the wine from a wholesaler, and when they would get the wine, so if the idolater is buying the wine, that means he also, Rashi says, has the rights to the barrel. Now what happened was, instead of giving them the wine with the barrel, Rav Acha would pour the wine from the barrel into a smaller nodos, to different type of ziki, sort of like a canteenish of sorts, and then he would ferry that across to them, and he would keep the barrel for himself. That was the salary that they would pay for his service, that the idolaters would give him. They would allow him to keep the barrels for himself. And the people were bothered. The other fellow Jews were bothered by this. Asu amrulei la'abaye. They told us to Abaye that Rav Ika doesn't seem to be acting appropriately. He's getting mahana he's getting benefit from the idols, but from the Yayin Nesach. But how is he getting a benefit from the Yayin Nesach? The Amarle. So when Abai said to them, hold on a second, ki katarach behetera katarach. No, the issue is here is that the tircha that he's involved with is only with hetera. He's only dealing with permissible forms of tircha. What do you mean? What's the issue? What exactly was the question? There shouldn't be an issue about the barrel. The barrel had nothing in it. The barrel wasn't Yayin Esach. No, the problem was that the wineskins, the ziki, the canteens that he was pouring them into didn't belong to him. They weren't his own. They belonged to the idolaters, and those had sediments of Yayin Esach. And Rashi says that the concern was, well, hold on a second, now he's pouring the wine into a canteen of Yayin Nesach. How can he do that? There's Yayin Nesach inside. So Abai explained, no, that as Rashi says, Shehayayin eino ne'esar ad shemagiyel akarkis shel ziki ditu. The issue is that there's no concern because the wine only becomes prohibited when it hits the floor of the canteen, which contains the Yayin Nesach. But all Ravika was doing, the act of pouring it into the canteen is not a problem. Once it hits it, okay, that's a different story, but he's not getting any benefit. What he's doing is all behetera. That's the claim that Abaye made, and therefore there's no hana, no issues, this is permissible to do. But they say, hold on a second. But hold on a second, he's wrote to Bikiyumo. We've discussed already before this whole concept. If you wrote to Bikiyumo, if you want it around, if you want Yayin Esach to survive in order that you can keep the barrel for yourself, well, he wants to make sure that the canteen doesn't break. Because if the skin breaks, then he's going to have a problem. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's true. But this is an exception. Demasni behadaihu. He made a tanai. What's the tanai? He said, look, if the canteen breaks, I'm not going to be responsible. I don't have to put it in anything else. Or inami demaisu priskdi badayu. Or maybe in addition to for the idolaters bringing over these canteens with the Yayin Nesach, they also would bring additional vessels, which they said, if it breaks, you put the wine into this one. Toso says, well, shouldn't you be concerned that the second one will also break? So he says, we don't go that far. We're not worried about two vessels breaking. Anyhow, the Gemara says, but that still not doesn't necessarily solve our problem. Vakamavra luhu mavra. Dekatarach biisura. But at the end of the day, he's ferrying these wines back to the idolaters. Now, at this point, there's Yayin Nesach in the barrel. And now he's taking them in the ferry and he's bringing them across. How can that be okay? He's mamish working with the Yayin Nesach. That's not a problem. That's not permissible. So the Gemara says, no, we have another answer for this. We can rationalize Ravika's actions. The Amrle le Marbarvaya Meikara. No, he had a deal originally with the Marbarvaya, with the people who were ferrying the boat across, that he made it way in advance saying, look, your job is to bring the wines across. He himself didn't bring it. Someone else brought it for him. And since the deal was already made way before the wine was placed into the boat, then it would be permissible. Inami dinikite bekitri, or Rashi says they attached ropes to the, or they held on to ropes. So the ropes were a sign that people would know that, oh, they have their wine, and then they would ferry it across. But the point is that Rav Ika was never involved in the ferrying, and therefore he was able to keep the schar, which were the barrels, because he never got any direct hana from the Yayin Nesach. Okay.